We left off last week with the final sermon in 1 John, and his final words came, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols." I want to let that kind of lead us into this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Now, those verses set outside their context don't mean as much. Let me put the context around this here. Paul is writing to a church in Corinth that is pretty well messed up. They've got issues, you could say. And one of the issues they had was a controversy swirling about eating meat sacrificed to idols. Okay, I'll give you the short story. Paul said, "Go for it, but here's the deal. It's one thing if you're eating meat. It's another thing if you're eating in a worship service where the meat is part of the mode of worship of demons. Don't do that." You had Christians in Corinth who were gathering together like this in church, and we're going to have a potluck after church, by the way, so we're going to eat meat to the praise and glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for that, unless you're a vegetarian, which then you can have carrots, which is great too. But in this scenario, they would leave the worship of the Lord and sharing in the Lord's Supper together, the bread and the cup, and then they would go and participate in another worship service, which had as its focus idols. And behind those idols were demons. And Paul says, look, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't have anything to do with idolatry. You can eat meat all you want. Just don't participate in the worship of idols. And so it was really a call for the Christians in Corinth to stand out from the culture they were surrounded by. And as we come into this season, I feel like this text is a good equipping text for how we're going to walk out today, this week, and this next month as we walk up into the Christmas season. So, the notes are very simple. Number one, flee from idolatry. Flee from it. Run the other way. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't participate in it. Don't flirt with it. Have nothing to do. Get away from it. Flee from idolatry. Now, in our day, as we talked last week, idolatry takes various forms. We typically don't carve wood, graven images, and bow down to them, but we do worship things, stuff. The great idol of America is materialism. And behind materialism, demons. Demons. Anything to draw our worship from God is an idol. And Satan loves to do it. So we walk in to Thanksgiving week, and I just brought the Sunday paper for today in case you haven't gotten it yet. The Bellingham Herald, front page. You know what it says? Tuning in to Black Friday. The irony here is unbelievable. Satan's blatant and obvious attack on our work of this week, which is to be for Christians a week of Thanksgiving, now turned into a week of marketing and advertising to get us to think about not what we have and how good God is for his gracious gifts and what he's done and all of what we shared here, but what we don't have and what we apparently need. And the antonym of Thanksgiving would be Black Friday, I think appropriately named Black Friday. And it's amazing to watch. I just paged through briefly through the ads here. I'll give you a little heads up so you know where to go. Thanksgiving sale. Look at what they're doing now. Obviously, times are tough, and the retailers are doing whatever they can to get a leg up on the competition. And we saw last year how they pushed into the midnight. You know, the last few years they've been opening Thanksgiving night at midnight, so people go stand in line for hours. Check this out. Thanksgiving sale, starting today. Starts today. Sunday through Wednesday, special sale, limited items, you know, go line up, run down there, and hurry up. Oh, and by the way, most of us have to work this week, so somehow you have to figure out how to get that stuff, work your job, prepare your house, cook a turkey, and then travel all before Thursday hits. That's tricky, but Sears can help you do that. Target. Beat the rush and save big with pre-Black Friday deals. Four-day sale. Interesting. Open Sunday, 8 to 10 p.m., Monday through Wednesday, 8 to 11 p.m. Oh, closed on Thanksgiving days. Doors open midnight on Black Friday. Okay? Target. Now watch this. Kmart. Open Thanksgiving Day, 6 a.m. This is insane. Now, should it surprise us that we live in a culture intoxicated with materialism, the idol of, why would they care a whiff about Thanksgiving Day and not selling stuff and convincing you to buy it? By the way, Big Lots is also open on Thanksgiving Day, 7 a.m. You got a better chance of getting a good deal if you line up early on Thanksgiving Day there with them. This stuff makes me sick. Not that shopping is bad or sinful or wrong. Not that if you want to go and line up for good deals on Black Friday in the middle of the night, that, not saying that's sinful. The question we've got to be asking is, what's happening in here? Jesus always concerns himself with the heart. And Satan knows that, and so if he can preempt our Thanksgiving work throughout the week by putting a bunch of stuff in front of us to focus on that in such a way that all of a sudden when the day comes, we would spend the day plotting and planning and sifting through advertisements to plan our attack to get the stuff we don't have instead of being thankful to God. It's brilliant, and it's working. It's effective. As Christians, we are called to flee from idolatry. So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lay heavy on you in whatever way he chooses to do that. Obey that command as we enter into Thanksgiving week and as we walk down through the Christmas season. Flee from idolatry. Jesus said it this way. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You know, maybe one very simple thing you could do with your family, with your spouse, in your home, just memorize that verse. And, you know, preach it to yourself all the way through the holiday season. Lord, I believe that. I believe that. Help my heart to remember that. When I'm watching TV and they're trying to sell me on stuff, when I get that paper, when I go to the mall, remind me of this. So that I will flee from idolatry. I don't want to give my heart to stuff. It will not satisfy. It cannot. It's worthless. Your life does not consist in your stuff. There is great gain, Paul writes to Timothy, in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take and we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. To those who desire to be rich, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And then the verse we know well, the love of money, not money itself, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Dealing with the heart, again, goes back to the heart. What's it going to look like as you walk this week out, as you read that paper, as you take in those advertisements, and you plan your Thanksgiving and your Christmas shopping and all of this? How's it going to look for you, your family, your home, to obey the command, flee from idolatry? Godliness with contentment. Maybe write that on your rearview mirror in your car. Write it somewhere in your, you know, bathroom mirror where you're going to see it often, especially as we prepare to walk through a culture and a season that is saturated and intoxicated with idolatry and materialism. Godliness with contentment. Number two, focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. Paul writes here, and he says, look, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ and the bread we break? Is it not a participation in the body of Christ? He's saying, look, when we gather for the Lord's Supper, the focal point of that activity is a person, namely Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus. And because we do, we are one. We are one body. We are unified in that. That's who we are. That's what we're about. We are not idolaters, he's saying. We are Christians. So, as you walk this week out, flee from idolatry and focus on Jesus. Focus on Christ. We celebrate Christmas and we completely lose ourselves in this whole materialistic world and buying gifts and trying to figure out, you know, shopping lists and all that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that's not the point. It's not the point. If we raise our kids to think that Christmas is only about presents, we have failed. Flee from idolatry. Focus on Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what his grace looks like. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. What does that mean, friends? That means that when he humbled himself and took on flesh and lived sinlessly and laid his life down to the point of death, even death on a cross, his poverty in that act, the emptying of himself, has made us rich. So remind yourself when you pick up the paper, I'm rich in Jesus. God, through Christ, completely redefines the meaning of wealth and riches. Does he not? Do you realize if you're a Christian, you are a son of the King of the universe, and you have an eternal inheritance that is yours, and it's kept in heaven for you? You are more rich than you could ever imagine. You don't need what the world is selling to you to satisfy your soul. What matters most? What really satisfies? Flee from idolatry. Focus on Christ. If we lose intentional, specific decision-making that focuses us on Christ and chooses to flee from idolatry, we walk in the way of the world. We do exactly what Paul warns us not to here. And number three, follow his example. Follow his example. As we focus on Christ, what is it that we focus on? His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us in such a way that through his death, we could live. That literally through his sacrifice, we would have life. And then you see these kinds of verses that come and they come to us. Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love as Christ loved us. Love as Jesus loved. Love that sacrifices, that gives, that pours out, that becomes poor for the benefit of others. You see? A love that says, I have a wealth beyond imagination. That means that everything I own is God's and that he has an inheritance for me. So the blessing he gives to me, I can leverage like Jesus did to bless others, to meet needs, to move in love. We're talking good deeds here. We're talking tangible expressions of the love of God. Good deeds. as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. It's God's work. If you're rich, you didn't do it your way. The American way is arrogance and haughtiness. If you're rich, God made you rich for a reason. What's the reason? They are to do good, to be rich in good works, rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. Now, you might be saying, you know, I'm not rich. If you travel at all and you go and see how most of the rest of the world lives, you realize, comparatively speaking, you are rich financially, materially. We have been unbelievably blessed by God. This passage is written to us, rich in good works. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright in godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself, how did he do it? He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Sometimes we miss those last few words. The content of what he has just spoken all leads to action. He did all of this to purchase and redeem you and set you free to show his love in good works and actions. So, challenge number one. I'll give you three challenges this week, this holiday season as we walk in. What will it look like for me personally, for me as, say, men, the leader of my home, for me as a husband or as a father, a grandfather, for me as a son or a daughter? What will it look like for me to flee from idolatry this holiday season? It's going to look different. I'm not going to prescribe to you how everybody should act. But the Spirit of God, I believe, can lay specific and intentional steps that you can take this week and the weeks to come to walk this out. We are surrounded by a culture that is buying the lie of stuff and materialism and idolatry. They are all bowing down. Will we be like Daniel or Joseph, the mighty men of faith who stood up and said, no, we're going to be different. We're going to be faithful to obey this command. So be specific. Write some of this down. What will it look like to flee from idolatry this holiday season? Number two, what specific steps can I take to make Christ my focus this holiday season? Some of you have family traditions that just fly in the face of a Christ-focused Christmas or Thanksgiving. And you need to abandon them. I mean, you might need to just check all of what you inherited and then say, okay, let's sit down and reimagine what this Christmas thing could be like if we made every decision upon the goal to focus on Christ. Maybe the order in which we walk Christmas Day out. Maybe we do specific things we've never done before, and we do them now every year. And this is our intentional steps to make Jesus the focus of everything we do. When you sit down and you see that turkey dinner and all of the things laid out before you that you work so hard, rather than just a quick prayer and then eat, what could you do to capture that and leverage Jesus to the middle of it all? Think through that. Men especially, I want to charge you, be the spiritual leaders of your home and initiate this, lead this. Be different this year. Bring Jesus to the middle of it all. And challenge number three, what specific steps can I take this holiday season to live out the example of Christ? I was talking to Fred Gustafson, and they lost Debbie 6 months ago. And holidays, he said, are tough. Tough. Mom's not here. Now we know she's in heaven. You know what they decided to do? They're going to go down on Thanksgiving and serve at the Lighthouse Mission. Serve food. That's what we're talking about. Go Gustafsons. What are we going to do as individuals and families and as a church? We got plans. Come and participate what we've planned. But then beyond that, how can you be zealous for good works in a season that is so self-focused, so interested in stuff? How can we redeem Christmas and turn Thanksgiving back to what it should be? Pray it through. And then make a plan. You might even need to write this down. I found in years past, you can discuss it, but if you don't jot it down and then get after it step by step, it's easy to get lost in the whole busyness of the season. And then important reminder, do everything for the glory of God. For the glory of God. This is a challenge to us all. And I believe that by God's grace, we can stand out. We can stand out. Flee from idolatry. Focus on Christ and follow his example. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for calling us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. This is not of our doing. We don't deserve it. But here we are. We know freedom and life, and that comes only through your Son, Jesus Christ. He paid the price for all our sins. We find forgiveness in him alone. And now as we walk in this life and this freedom, we look upon Black Friday differently. We think about Thanksgiving and Christmas differently than we once did. So, Lord, we commit this to you, and we ask that you would help us make wise and Christ-centered decisions this holiday season. Lord, give us opportunities to stand out for you, not just in the things that we don't do, Father, but in the things that we do to show your love. Help us to flee from idolatry, Father. Help us to focus on Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and help us to then follow his example and be a people zealous for good works. Oh Lord, make this true of us this year more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen.